Today, my dear faithful, is Palm Sunday, and the epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Philippians, chapter 2. Brethren, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself as nothing, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and in habit found as a man. He humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. For which cause God also hath exalted him, and hath given him a name which is above all names, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those that are in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that the Lord Jesus Christ is in the glory of God the Father. And the Holy Gospel, which we will find in your missals in the ceremonies of palms, of the blessing of palms. And it is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 21. At that time, when Jesus drew nigh to Jerusalem and was come to Bethpage unto Mount Olivet, he sent two disciples, saying to them, Go ye into the village that is over against you, and immediately ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if any man shall say anything to you, say ye that the Lord hath need of them, and forthwith he will let them go. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Sion, Behold, thy king cometh to thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of her that is used to the yoke. And the disciples going did as Jesus commanded them. And they brought the ass and the colt, and laid their garments upon them, and made him sit thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way, and others cut boughs from the trees, and strewed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Thus far today's holy words, today's holy gospel. A very great multitude spread their garments in the way, and others cut boughs from the trees and strewed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Words taken from the proper last gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today, my dear faithful, we commemorate the glorious entry of our Lord into Jerusalem. On this day, when our Lord and the apostles were drawing near to the holy city, our Savior stopped and asked the apostles to bring him a donkey. Jesus Christ then rode this animal into the holy city. Now, this may not mean much to us, but to the Jews, it was a tremendous sign. We do not know if they recognized it, or they simply did exactly what the prophet Zacharias of the Old Testament had prophesied. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Sion. Shout for joy, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king will come to thee, the just and Savior, poor and riding upon a donkey. For 3 years before this, our Lord had become famous for his teachings that stirred the people's hearts and his miracles that filled them with wonder. His fame had grown even greater when our Lord raised Lazarus to life after he had been dead and buried for 3 full days. No prophet or judge of the Old Testament, no, not even Elias or Moses, had ever worked such an outstanding miracle before. Because of this, Jesus Christ was esteemed as a great wonder worker. And now, just before a great feast of the Jews, he fulfills this prophecy of the Messiah so literally. As I said, we do not know if the people recognize this sign, that the King of Kings, the Just One, the Savior, riding a donkey into the city, but still they did just as the prophet Zacharias had prophesied. They began to rejoice greatly and shout for joy. With full hearts they cried out, "Hosanna to the Son of David," which was the same as hailing Christ as the Savior. For all Jewish people knew that other prophecy, that the Messiah would be one of King David's descendants. The people ran to join a procession behind him and prepare the way before him. Some scrambled up the palm trees that grew in abundance by the road. Others seized whatever leafy boughs they could find. The palms symbolized victory to the Jewish people, and the Messiah that they looked for would achieve victory after victory. And so, as the procession moved along, the people waved these palms to and fro and spread them along the way that the donkey our Lord rode upon might walk upon them. But that was not enough for them. The multitude still wanted to do more. Many took the coats off their own backs to make a carpet for Jesus Christ to ride upon, lest even the donkey he rode be dirtied. It was a wonderful procession, my dear faithful, a glorious manifestation of the people's belief in our Lord as the Savior, and their joy that finally he had come. How different was this glorious procession of palms to the sorrowful procession of the cross on Good Friday. In that same city, just 5 days later, the same one that had been exalted as king as he entered into the city was driven out from it and condemned as a criminal to die the ignominious death of the crucifixion. Crowds again surrounded our Lord, but this time most were there to shout insults and blasphemies at him, to spit upon him, and to strike him if they could. No one spread their cloaks before him to protect him from the road. Instead, they drew back as he was crushed under the weight of the cross and weakness from his wound. The crown of glory the people had hoped to give him as their king was now no wreath of gold. Instead, a bundle of thorns had been placed on his head, then beaten and pressed down until it wrapped itself around like a helmet, with the thorns buried into his skull. In his arms, the King of Kings held his throne, his cross, that giant piece of wood that weighed upon his shoulder, tearing what was left of his skin. For his entire body had been made one giant wound by the scourges that buried into his flesh and ripped it asunder. Following our Lord was Mary, his mother, John, his beloved apostle, and a group of women who were his disciples as well. They walked along in mute sorrow, sharing his agony by their compassion, and giving whatever comfort they could by showing that they at least did love him. It is among that little group of faithful followers, my dear faithful. That is where that we must be. 2,000 years later, we too must join our Savior in the way of the cross to show him that we too do love him, especially when in our world today, so few do. And why? Because it is our sins that put him through this great trial, that buried the scourges into his flesh, that platted the crown of thorns upon his head, and that nailed his hands to the cross to leave him there to die. And so, my dear faithful, I urge you to do your part, to console your God throughout this most holy week. Remember throughout these following days what really happened, what the Son of God suffered for our sins. The world may treat it as just another day, but show our Lord that you at least know that it is not so. Spend some time each day in prayer or pious reading throughout this week. We will be recording and broadcasting on the internet all of the Holy Week ceremonies, and I urge you to take part as much as you are able. Show our Lord that you at least do care and compassionate our Redeemer. Pray to comfort our Lord, and he will be your comfort in carrying your cross, especially in these trying times. Wherever you find yourself, my dear faithful, this most holy week, spend the time in prayer or pious reading, following after our Lord with Mary, the sorrowful mother, and John, the beloved apostle. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.